Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down at the Roundtable. We are talking about sex and sexuality, specifically in the book Dracula by Bram Stoker. Being voluptuous is not just a physical trait you can't help in Bram Stoker's use of the term.
Right.
It is an action.
Exactly.
You behave voluptuously. And when do you behave voluptuously? When you are turning into a vampire.
Right, right. When you're being the sexy vampire.
Yeah.
And I think Mina, you know, gives us a lot of that. You know, Dracula has come out of the closet by the time he's seducing, if we can use the word seducing, Mina. And the scene that you alluded to when she is sucking the blood from his chest, from his breast, I mean, that's in front of an audience.
Mm-hmm.
This is a way cray scene. Talk to us a little bit about this scene.
I find that scene, again, is interesting because when Dracula is forcing Mina to drink the blood from his chest, it is sort of procreative. He mm-hmm. is creating another bride, another mm-hmm. vampire. It is that permutation of the mother-child relationship
right.
there. It is a spiritual corruption.
Yeah.
Because you can look as, okay, Dracula's kind of Satan here.
Yeah, or at least the Antichrist,
way.
Right?
You know, right.
Yeah.
You could look on it as some sort of, you know, sexual thing going on there. Mm-hmm. There's an exchange of fluid. You could mm-hmm. even look on it as a rape.
Mm-hmm.
And there is definitely that voyeuristic quality to it that you alluded to, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah, because the other guys are there, right? They witness
right.
it. So.
And Mina's attitude is very much I don't want this, but I'm kind of into it.
Oh, yeah. That's what I wanted you to talk about a little bit more. Yeah. She's definitely hits that. What you were alluding to is, you know, not being the aggressor, but mm-hmm. certainly going for it.
Right.
On some level.
Right.
On some level. Yeah.
Yeah, and I would say that most of the time in this book, if women are taking sexual initiative, it is bad.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Especially if they're married. And at this point, Mina has already married Jonathan. Mm-hmm. She is a married woman. And in front of these other men, she is having physical contact with quote-unquote another man, although we know Dracula's not human. I will stress that again, but she mm-hmm. this has got to give us a little bit of insight about how Bram Stoker and or Victorian society felt about sex outside of marriage, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This was not good. This was bad behavior on Mina's part of, you know. All of us, the readers, the people at the time in the Victorian era when this book was published and all that stuff, probably could feel like she should have withstood this. She was a proper married Christian woman in a heterosexual marriage. She should have been able to say no, you know. But she's kind of, you know, for lack of a better word, a willing participant in this scene, you know.
And I think another interesting observation is that Mina never wants to be spiritually corrupted,
no.
and in many ways does not consent to a lot of what happens.
Sure.
And yet, she immediately, when they try to put like that spiritual wafer, communion wafer on her head, she's burned by it.
Yes.
And so she is basically damned.
Yeah, she has been corrupted. Right.
Right, mm-hmm. that she was not a fully willing, you know,
right.
she didn't fully consent to.
Right.
And if you look on, okay, if women of this time period who were similarly maybe raped or forced mm-hmm. into some sort of, you know, sexually compromising position were also, even though maybe they didn't consent to it, considered to be tainted.
Right, and they were guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, they were guilty. And that is, I think that's exactly what this whole, for lack of a better word, relationship that Dracula and Mina have. That one of the biggest things that I think, especially feminist scholars, could and probably are, have, whatever, looked at is this element of blame and the guilt of the female who has been sexually assaulted or somehow forced, like you said, to have relationships outside of the norm, whether it's the married norm or just the societal norms of the time. Maybe it's just about, you know, the guilt and blaming of females who experienced sexual pleasure, because that wasn't really supposed to be happening unless you were a hooer, I say, you know. So, or like you said, taking even initiative would be seen as a very unfeminine, unwomanly, improper, you know. Proper Christian women did not feel sexual pleasure even in marriage, nor did they take sexual initiative. So Mina has kind of become this vessel for all of these societal things that we still see today. We still see, you know, people, rape victims being blamed because they walked alone or they wore a certain top or skirt or shoes or whatever. I mean, blaming the victim still happens, and having that guilt and shame, rape victims, sexual assault victims carry that still because society puts that, you know, as part of victimhood, if you will. And I think we could talk a long time about how Mina represents, you know, a lot of those issues in society even today. I think for in sure. The context of this book, it's fascinating. It's one scene. That's one scene where there's so much, like I always say, meat on the bone. There's so much meat on the bone for us with Dracula and Mina, even in this one scene, let alone any other scenes.
Right. And I think, too, the scene where Lucy is undead.
Yes.
And they're going to all bears. They're going to, you know, chop off her head,
yes,
kill her.
Yes.
And she kind of makes a last play at Arthur, trying to draw him in.
Yes.
You know, as, you know, kiss me.
Oh, it's so powerful scene. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So, again, that idea of the sexuality in women, that it's A, wrong for them to take the initiative, and B, it being a threat.
And somehow evil. I mean,
yeah.
By this point, we know Dracula is evil personified. He is the opposite of anything Christ-like, anything good. He is evil, dark, horrible, bad. And here's Lucy using those same kind of seductive tactics that Dracula and the vampire women and what we now know in the book, at this point we know this is how they operate. This is how they get you, right? And Lucy is doing this to her beloved Arthur. I mean, it's just, and he is just repelled. Arthur is the one who is able to end her life because he knows that is not his Lucy. That is some evil incarnation of her body, your physical, you know, but it is not his Lucy, and he wants to save her soul. So that's a very powerful scene, too. And I think it also speaks to women of the time period not really being allowed or supposed to take sexual initiative and that kind of stuff. I think it's very, very powerful. Go ahead.
I found interesting in some of my research about how we view vampires is after the Bela Lugosi movie, one of the next sequels that came in as kind of a cash grab was Dracula's Daughter.
Yes.
And that kind of spawned a bunch of female vampires in the 60s and the 70s. Now, these were not, you know, like Oscar award-winning movies.
No, they're very campy, even by those standards, yeah.
But that for a while, when people thought of vampires, they very often would think of these aggressive females.
Yes.
You know, out to feed on your men.
Yeah, and again, that's metaphorical for how society sees women sometimes. Strong, independent women are called names. Bad names, you know. We're not supposed to be aggressive. We're supposed to be a good little woman. Well, let's not get into The Handmaid's Tale, but, you know. but let's talk about blood as a physical thing in this book. Dracula claims a physical part of the body, you know, obviously, and blood is physical. He wants that. He wants the blood. So do we see that as a metaphor for sex, as a physical interaction? Blood becomes the conduit, if you will, or the mixing of the two physical bodies through the sharing, lack of a better word, of blood, or the forced, you know, the forced sharing, I'm not sure. How do we say that? The forced sharing of blood. Ooh, it's disgusting. What do you think about that?
No, I would agree that, yeah, that the exchange of fluid definitely has the sexual overtones to it.
Yeah, it's in a gross way. It's kind of like that seminal, blood becomes the seminal fluid. You talked about how, the teeth going into the neck or breast is the penetration and right. The exchange of fluid and like you said, especially at the scene with Mina and Dracula, with Mina at his breast, that is very procreative, so to speak. So yeah, I think this is a very sexy book in some very strange and uncomfortable ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it absolutely is. Yeah, and the titillation that goes along with those blood-sucking scenes, and in various vampire literature, is the sucking of the blood a substitution for the actual physical act of sex? Because the vampires in some stories, like the Anne Rice stories,
right.
They cannot have it, and so the blood-sucking is what they do instead.
Right.
And they get the same sort of high from
it. Yeah, and then yet in things like True Blood, the blood-sucking and everything becomes part of the sex, the physical sex. It's like foreplay. It's, you know, or it's some intermediate play. It's like during sex. It's either before sex or during sex or something. There's, you know, there's that element of, yeah, there's still going to be some blood sucking. Although in True Blood, you know, they've come up with the bags of blood so that vampires don't have to chomp their victims. They can just have sex like normal humans. It's a very funny. I mean, in some ways, it's like, how can we rearrange these things happening in vampire lore? It's kind of funny. But you know, we laugh, and I'm laughing. But there is always in the book Dracula. Let's get back to our book, not these other adaptations. But in the book Dracula, in most of the scenes where Dracula is vampirically overtaking a human, there is an element of violence to that, and that will take us to our next podcast episodes, where we're going to be talking about violence and domestic abuse in our four stories. So I think that although with Dracula it's a little more humorous and fun to talk about the sex and sexuality than it was, say, for Gone with the Wind, we still have yet to address nail on the head the violence and domestic abuse that is in some of these book choices that we made this year. So we got a long way to go.
Absolutely. Stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned, everybody. This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.